13, the lucky number 13 of the Good Take podcast, but lucky was a thing that Alexander's fantasy football team was not. You lost by 3 points, he said. The Ravens-Chiefs game is just finishing up, so yeah. We're recording it immediately after.
I lost by a little more than 3 points. I started Lamar Jackson instead of Drew Brees, which would have gotten me the win. And I had Brandon Ayuk on my bench, which would have gotten me the win. So those two things combined were the difference makers, which is unfortunate. Hey, want to just say congratulations to the Tampa Bay Lightning. Literally 15 minutes before we started taping this or so, they became Stanley Cup champions. Cool to see them sort of complete that redemption arc after last year. More on that later in the episode. So that
nice tease.
Yeah, thank you.
Nice tease. No, it's pretty cool. We've compared them the last as they were advancing further. Like, what if they pulled a Virginia? You know, for those of you who don't remember when, you know, Virginia lost, they were the first one seed to ever lose in, you know, March Madness in the NCAA tournament, and then they turned around, and then won. They won the whole thing the next year. So that was really cool. And then, you know, they were the first team to win a title since the pandemic started. So we're slowly like crawling back to normalcy. And you know what? Speaking of normalcy. In our childhoods, the Lakers were always just great and the Warriors stunk. And so, hey man, 2020, it's ending with a little bit more normal. Don't you think?
Yeah. No, I mean, it's funny, you know, people always talk about like sort of this time of year as like the best time of the year for sports. And that's still true this year, just in a very different way, considering the seasons have played out.
I know. So, even like the French Open, like you have Nadal and it's going to do that. You have the Masters coming up like a few weeks after, you know, I think it's like right before, it's like mid-November before Thanksgiving. I mean, gosh, that's going to be so much fun. It's going to be great. What are you looking forward to most?
Geez, I mean, everything. I mean, this NBA final is going to be really fun. The baseball playoffs are about to start, so that's going to be super exciting. You know, the expanded playoffs is always interesting, sort of a new thing, and it'll be cool to see how that shakes out. Obviously, you know, I think you have to give the favorite mark to the Dodgers, but I think
your life really sucks right now.
No, I know. Right after the Giants missed the playoffs. It looks like the Dodgers are the best team, but I think there's a lot of really good teams. The A's are one of them for sure. I think the Padres could sneak up on some people. So it's going to be cool stuff.
I'm just saying, if you guys would have been the A, like I would have loved to have seen a 1v8 of Dodgers Giants. Like just the amount of anxiety that would have caused Dodger Nation, Dodger fans, which would have been so hilarious. Gosh. That would have been like a really fun matchup, and I mean, you guys obviously would have had, you guys would have been playing with house money. So really quick before we move on to the next part of our pod, we're gonna welcome on our friend Miles Gasman. This past weekend we did a this thing called Broadcaster's Path with Mark Willard, who is the 6 to 10 host on KNBR. We did a whole thing with future broadcasters, probably about 30-40 of us, you think?
Yeah,
around there. And so there's a bunch of us, you know, on the come up, college students, young, trying to make it in the industry. And so Mark had some guys on like Rob Parker, Jessica Kleinstein, and others, just to introduce us and bring us in. And so Miles was also in the class with Alex and I. And so we met him. He's a Lakers fan, unfortunately, but we thought it would be some really fun banter to have him on and talk some hoops, maybe a little bit of other things. And I'm really excited to have him on.
Yeah, no, definitely. It was just kind of a spontaneous thing where we were like, hey, if you want to come on our podcast, it was over a Zoom thing. We were communicating in the Zoom chat, like, hit us up if you want to come on. And he took us up on the offer, which excited us a lot. So it was really cool.
And so, you know, in the spirit of our podcast, just starting up because we were bored in quarantine, I think that's fitting quite well. And so with that, let's bring in Miles. Let's throw it to him. Hey, what's up, Miles? How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing, man?
We're doing well. Did you enjoy your time with Willard over the weekend?
Yeah, dude, that was super fun. I honestly had no idea what to expect going into it. But once it got going, I was like, whoa, this is really cool.
Nice. Wait, how did you hear about it out of curiosity?
So he's a friend of a professor from my school, SF State.
Okay.
And she had let me know about it. She was like, hey, if you're interested, this is going on. And I was like, ah, why not? You know?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's super awesome. Nice.
How do you guys like
really
it?
We really enjoyed it too.
Yeah. No, we had a good time.
Yeah.
For sure.
Though he's really nice too. And he's been like all over like LA and back here. He's like covering the Giants now. It's yeah. crazy.
He followed his dreams. He ended up back where he started like all along.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's funny. The reason we brought you on was, you know, you are a fan of,
right
know,
to
an
it.
An okay basketball team. You're a Lakers fan.
Yeah.
You know, everyone from, you know, from here knows, like, first of all, but before we like go back and forth, I'm sure we can unite on this. You know, I'm sure you see on social media, wherever, you know, casuals be like, oh, like, you know, Lakers fans or Warriors fans in the last 5 years, and now they're back to being Lakers fans, which is like people just think that, for some reason, people think that, you know, just because we're from California, that we're just laissez-faire. You know what I mean? It's just so ridiculous.
It's like, I used to be like that too, and then I grew out of it, and I'm like, do you really expect people to sit through blowout games and waste their time for 3 hours for a couple days a week? I'm like, dude, no, that's I mean, because like I would still watch, and then once I knew the game was like not, it wasn't a good game to come back from, then I was like, no, I'm not wasting my time on this. And
yeah go ahead.
it's just so crazy to see how far like we've come now. I don't want to like take over and like be all Laker on your podcast, but
that's all good. No, it's the NBA. You're in the NBA Finals.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's a very relevant team right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess just sort of to jump into it, like let's talk some NBA Finals. Like, what's your sort of analysis of the situation, objectively as you can be as a fan of one of the two teams?
Yeah, actually, good thing you said that, because I do want to preface by saying like, yeah, I am a Lakers fan. So, but I do try to be as objective as possible when it comes to the basketball of it. And with that said, I would say Lakers in 7.
Wow.
Because Miami scares the hell out of me. They match up super well on defense. They have Bam for AD. Honestly, if I was Spoelstra, I would just match Bam's minutes with AD's minutes. And then you have Jay Crowder, Andre Iguodala, and Jimmy Butler to throw at LeBron.
Yeah.
And this is where I feel like a third scorer or like a reliable third guy for the Lakers would really flourish, which should have been Kyle Kuzma, but it's not. So that's where I am right now.
Yeah. So the one thing I will say is, you know, one of the flaws with someone like LeBron, which is part of why I love Steph so much, is, you know, like Steph will empower guys, play within a system over the course of the season. So that way, you know, guys will, you know, have more confidence going in, you know, like to a big game. It's more likely that one of the supporting guys will pop off. And the thing is, because LeBron and AD take like all the touches, it's more likely, which is fine. But you know, it's I think it's going to be less likely that like a Caruso goes off. But look, you never know. And look, at the end of the day, I think what you said was spot on. I mean, Jimmy Butler and Iguodala have played like a gazillion playoff games against LeBron. Crowder was on the Celtics when they played LeBron. They didn't have much success, but they have three guys with like a legitimate experience against them.
Yeah, and like, I mean, I feel like the Lakers are pretty well-rounded, and because there was all this talk about who's the third guy, who's the third star, but it's kind of by committee. You can have one guy go off one night like Dwight did in the Denver series. You could have Danny Green get hot or KCP get hot. Like, it doesn't have to be one guy every single time, but as much as that is an advantage, it's also a disadvantage because the Heat have Tyler Hero, who is 19 years old and out of his mind. That guy's just a straight shooter and a scorer, and it's really crazy how good he is right now.
Yeah, no, definitely. And you mentioned Danny Green and KCP. Though I think those guys are X factors for the Lakers, because we know the Heat can shoot. You know, they've got Hero, Duncan, Dragic. They've got Jimmy Butler can knock down a three. Jay can knock down a three. Iguodala can even knock down a three once in a while. So I think the Lakers are going to need to have those guys hitting 3-point shots. That's going to be a huge part of it on their end.
Yeah.
You know, the attention is going to be on LeBron and AD, and you're going to need to have those guys, you know, squeezing the floor, then kicking out for and distributing for what should be open threes. I think you were talking about Danny Green and KCP, and I think those guys are the X factors for the Lakers, because you know we know the Heat have a lot of really good shooters and a lot of guys who can hit threes, and we know that LeBron and AD are going to be drawing the defense in, and they're going to need to kick it out to guys like that to hit the threes, and that's going to be a huge part of the series for them, I think.
Yeah, I think game one is going to be crucial to find out whether the Lakers' bigs will be playable or if they need to play Markieff Morris more and start him like they'd had to in the Houston series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially. Go ahead, Alex.
Okay. I was going to say Morris is that's another guy who they can ask to come in and hit some threes if need be. So.
I think Bam is a bad matchup for, like, someone like Dwight against Jokic was good because he's, you know, sort of more big and lumbering, but Dwight's too slow. I think the Heat are they're too quick of a team. I think Markieff Morris is a perfect kind of tough, gritty wing guy who could still shoot reasonably well. I think he's going to get a lot of minutes. Like, he was a good matchup for Denver. I don't think he's going to be a much better matchup for Lakers. I did want to ask you too, and I'm sure it's changed in the last year with, you know, unfortunate events, but you know, were you like a big like Kobe guy? Because remember, like originally when LeBron came, there was like Lakers fans almost didn't want him because they were like painted Kobe girls, which is like how entitled of a fan base you have to be to like LeBron James chooses to come to you, and you're like, no, and you kind of like push it like standoffish a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, how were you like in the very beginning? Like, how were you with that whole transition, and then how has it changed now? You know, obviously a lot has happened, good and bad.
Yeah, I think it's funny because since he got in the league, I mean, because I was like a really huge Kobe fan. Like, Kobe was my guy. He's the reason I became a basketball fan, became a Laker fan. And when LeBron, early in his career, started being identified as the best player in the league, I was like, wait, hold up. There's still Kobe. Kobe's here. So because of that, I hated LeBron. And then I hated him even more when he signed with Miami. Like those 4 years were so unbearable for me. I'm like, God, I have to see this guy in the finals every single time. And then for some reason, when he chose to go back to Cleveland, I was like, okay, maybe he's not that bad. We'll see, you know, we'll see. And then it's funny. I actually really became a fan of him after the 2015 finals. Cause I was like, damn, he just carried that G League team against Steph and Klay and Draymond, like, respect to that. So I like that is a big help of how I was able to accept him on the Lakers. And then honestly, I couldn't be picky, man. We were going through the worst stint ever. So anyone we could have got, we were damn lucky it was him.
Yeah, out of curiosity, like, where were you when you on January 26th, like when you found out?
Ooh, I was actually I was at home. I was just hanging out at home, and then a family member hit me up. They were like, hey, is this Kobe news real? And at that moment, I already knew what it was, but I was like, what news? And then of course I went on Twitter, look it up. It didn't feel real. It's still
great.
Yeah, man. There was this clip I saw. I think it was a Michigan basketball player, and then Tom Izzo was like telling him that Kobe died. And then his player's reaction was, he was mouthing the words, Kobe, Kobe Bryant. And then it was just crazy. Like, he was one of those figures who seemed so untouchable. And I don't want to say godlike, but, you know, he has that kind of, like, mystique about him.
Of course.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Kobe, like, I don't know. Even for me, like, if that can happen to Kobe, man, like, I think everyone should question their mortality. Is the way that I looked at it,
for sure.
So,
yeah, and I'm just sort of curious, sort of more in general, in moving away from the Lakers specifically, and just sort of going big. What have been like your favorite storylines or arcs from just the playoffs in general?
From these playoffs right now?
Yeah.
Oh, just the quality of basketball. I said this before it even started. Like, when you take out the need for travel. And you take out the fan, like, whatever impact the fans have on the game. I was saying that whoever wins this is, like, you can't take that away from them because it's really straight-up basketball. There's no travel. There's no extracurricular activities between games, which is funny because that's LA and Miami.
Except for Tyler Hero, but
yeah. So, and then I'm not a big asterisk guy, but I said that no matter what, there is an asterisk because this season is just so different than anything else we've seen. And good or bad, like, it's just a different season.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, also every team is dealing with it. So it's kind of like, yes, there is this thing going on, but it's not like it's just exclusive to one or two teams. So that's like, and Zevin and I have had this discussion on the podcast before, like, is there an asterisk on this year? And that's kind of one of the things we've arrived at is, well, every team in every league had to go through this. So does that cancel the potential asterisk out?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, because there's a negative connotation with asterisk, but how I see
it, we're well aware, trust me.
Oh yeah, for sure. But how I see it is just like, it's like context. It's like the context you need in order to make a conclusion about whatever information you're seeing.
No, that's fair. And I know, yeah. I've said since, sorry, did I cut you off?
No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, though, it's funny, like we, you know, obviously, as I mentioned, you know, as Warriors fans, we got the whole asterisk talk in 2015, and then, you know, and then we put it back, you know, when Draymond got suspended, we were like, are you kidding me? Like, we rolled our eyes, too. So, like, if there's, certainly, you know, it comes at, you know, from all different directions, but I don't know. I think Alex and I both said for a while, like, and neither one of us can stand LeBron, but look, I mean, we've said, look, if he wins the title, then I'm both of us are going to treat it as like it's his fourth ring. It's legit. Yeah. You know, we have plenty of hangups about him, but we're you know, we're not going to have any, like, but you know, I mean, it's not his fault. There was a freaking pandemic. Like, if he wins, he wins. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then I don't know if you guys mentioned it before, like on previous episodes, but like the Bucks and the Lakers got pretty screwed out of home court. Like, they spent the whole season trying to fight for a good record, and then all of a sudden there's no home court advantage.
Yeah. Do you think it would have changed, like, the Bucks outcome?
I do a lot. I think they would have at least pushed Miami to 7. God, that was such a bad showing by Giannis. And I'm sure that made you guys happy because he might be domination bound. I wanted to ask you guys about that. Like, what moves do you want to see the Warriors make in the offseason?
Ooh, this offseason? Probably, I mean, you know, they have
–
You go
first. Yeah.
Yeah, no, they have the number two overall pick. You know, it's a weird draft. No clear top guys or anything like that, so I would love to see them potentially, you know, try to trade the pick, and whether that's, you know, getting future picks or a current player. I think that would be really cool. I don't have like a specific person in mind on that, but I think they have a unique opportunity to where you know most teams, you know, at the top of drafts who hit it big in the draft lottery want to get that young guy because they've been bad for a couple of years or whatever. Whereas with the Warriors, as I've said before, this could be just a 1 year thing where they're just bad for a year and they go back to being really good. So if they can maneuver things around and get that additional piece for the current guys they have to take them over the top, that's kind of my dream scenario.
Yeah. So I mean, for me, I mean, first of all, like, you know, with COVID-19, there's going to be a huge cap question mark about the cap, and so if teams are looking to cut salary, you know, pick up young cheaper talent, you know. I would love to look at guys like, you know, Philly has a huge cap problem. They have humongous contracts, obviously Simmons and Embiid, but then Tobias Harris and Al Horford have just horrific contracts. So they're going to be in the luxury tax. So maybe, you know, I know a lot of Warriors fans want Josh Richardson. Personally, like, I think we should obviously plan that, you know, for Giannis not to come. Certainly this summer, it's not going to happen. I think if it was going to happen, like, it would be, he would have to demand next summer, then we would just execute a sign and trade with the Bucks. But I would love, you know, we look for guys like Josh Richardson. Maybe, you know, I floated a trade where we could get like a three-team trade where we could get like Caris LeVert from the Nets because we have a $17 million trade exception. So maybe Caris LeVert could come. We'd someone get him. So there's certain guys. Alex and I have both been huge Denny guys in the draft. He's personally who I would love for them to take. And it seems like through rumors that that's who they're leaning to. You know, I've heard some, like, maybe we trade back for, with the Knicks and they give us Mitchell Robinson, which I would love that. You know, I would say I would love for us to get either Avdija or if we trade back to get, like, a Devin Vassell. I mean, I think he has a chance to be, you know, a Paul George type, which I know everyone's, like, just shitting on Paul George right now, and rightfully so. And we'll get to that other LA team in a minute with their news today. But, I mean, I think he has really good potential, too. I don't know. There's not a lot of guys that I'm high on, but those are two. Do you have any draft thoughts, you yourself? Not that you guys, it's going to matter for you guys, but.
Do I have any draft what? Sorry?
Okay, draft thoughts.
Not really, because like you said, I don't have to follow it anymore, so I'm not, but I am 1000% with you guys. Because I've talked to a couple of friends who said, yeah, just use the second pick and see where it goes. Like, you don't have time to do that. Like, your window is right now with Steph and Clay and Draymond. You don't have time to wait around for a draft pick to be NBA ready. You don't have time to take a chance on Andrew Wiggins, you know? Like, I think, obviously, you shoot for the stars with Giannis, but if that doesn't happen, you can still find a disgruntled star here or there. Like you mentioned, Paul George in a different aspect. Like, no one saw the trade from OKC happening for Paul George. But you can find a guy like that who isn't in the best situation and you might not see coming. Like, I was thinking, since the Sixers are in shambles, maybe, like, Ben Simmons or Embiid, depending on who they prefer to keep. I would think Embiid, because they would want to keep Simmons to build around. So guys like that. But I definitely do think, yeah, you need to strike while the iron's hot with your current core, because they're not getting any younger.
No, totally. And the whole rumor about, like, if they hire D'Antoni, like, you know, they're going to consider a trade. I don't know. Personally, I don't see, like, why would you hire it? I don't know. To me, I don't know why you would hire a new coach and then not give them a chance with your duo, unless you get back, like, a James Harden, which has been rumored. But, like, unless you get back another superstar, why don't you want to give your coach a chance to, like, figure it out with these two guys? I don't know. So we'll see. Yeah. Can you remember a year with, like, this many coach openings, and then also with this many big name coaches, like, that are out there? Like, I can't remember one. I don't know, Alex. I don't know if either of you guys can at all.
I can't either. No, you're right.
There's so many. Like, hell, you know what? On that note, here, I'll let you go first, Alex. Do you want to wax poetic about Doc? Because we both thought he would be fired, like, the day after, and I was, right. You know, it's kind of surprised that it took this long. I will say it did take 13 days, so 3-1. It's fun to make a 3-1 joke, but it's not us.
Yeah, and that's Paul George's number too. So it's a little bit.
I forgot about that. PG-13.
Doc, he's going to get picked up somewhere else. He was being pursued within, like, an hour of him being fired. So I could see like a team like the Pacers wanting him, you know, to try to create some excitement there. Cause you know, they're going to have some really interesting situations coming up with, in terms of free agency stuff, with Miles Turner, Oladipo, Sabonis. So maybe trying to get someone like Doc.
Oladipo wants out, actually.
Yeah. Already? I saw that too. Yep.
When did that come out? Why do I?
It was today. It was like Jared Weiss of The Athletic.
Yeah.
I missed that. Okay.
Yeah.
Would be.
Yeah. That's really interesting, because we talked about this in the very first episode of this, but people in Indiana loves Oladipo. So, because, you know, that's where he was for college and now pros. Yep. So that's really interesting. I don't know. Like, I'm not surprised that the Clippers fired Doc. I'm all, like you said, I'm only surprised that it took this long. Just because the next head coach is pretty much going to be whoever Kawhi says it is, I think. And it'll be interesting, because I've heard rumors that they might promote Ty Lue. Yeah. There was some other name that came up today. I can't remember who it is on the top of my head, but. That'll be a really interesting situation.
There's D'Antoni out there too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I understand why they wanted to bring in someone new to try to give this whole thing with Kawhi and PG another shot.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. After that, the way they lost, like, you can't just write it back, right? Do either of you guys think that Uncle Dennis had anything to do with this? Good old Uncle Dennis?
With Doc being fired?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
It was hot on Twitter.
Yeah, that Uncle Dennis.
that
do you guys allow cursing on this?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to say, what a bunch of fucking clowns, bro. Like, going in, they were so cocky going into the season. And you had the story about Pat Beverly and Lou Williams who were eating out dinner. And then once they got the news, they were like, oh, yeah, we won the chip. We won the chip. Like, they were acting like the Dynasty Warriors before they even proved shit.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. Like, at least when the Warriors got cocky, at least they'd already won a title. You know, like, at least they'd already won stuff. That was my whole point with people.
Yeah, and then, oh, man, just Paul George is a clown. Like, how do you get to the Clippers and be like, yeah, I was a Clipper fan my whole life, when there's literally tape of you saying you were a Kobe fan, you were a Laker fan, all that stuff. And
like, who was a Clippers fan other than, like, I don't know a single Clippers fan besides, like, Billy Crystal, do you?
No, like, Clipper Daryl. Marcellus Wiley, who's on Fox now.
Marcellus Wiley.
Like,
funny dude.
And it sucks because I used to like both of them. Like, honestly, I felt this way about KD, like, before KD went to the Warriors. And here's some context also. So I did grow up in the Bay Area, and I do dislike the Warriors, but because, you know, I grew up the only Laker fan, and I caught all the heat when we were winning. So I just wanted to return the favor, you know. It sucks, but yeah, like, I used to really like Kevin Durant, and then he went to the Warriors. I was like, ah, well, there goes that. And then I used to really like Kawhi and Paul George, and then they both went to the Clippers, and I'm like, well, there goes that. And the fact that it wasn't even that they didn't lose in 7 games in a hard-fought series. They got straight up embarrassed in 3 straight games. And it was just so delicious to watch. I loved it. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I don't know. I enjoyed it because, I mean, I will always hate the Clip. It's funny. So, like, we've always hated – we hated the Clippers forever, like, since the Lob City, like, hated them. But I also – I don't know. Between – so you can tell me if you agree or disagree, Alex, but I think between the Clippers, the Rockets, and Lakers, I hated the Clippers the least.
Yeah, that's probably true.
And so I was rooting for them, kind of, and I thought they had a better chance against the Lakers, which I think everyone would agree with that. Oh, yeah, they had a better chance against the Lakers and the Nuggets, so I wanted them to win so they could at least – I don't know. I still think they would have had a shot to beat the Lakers, to be honest. I know that might sound, like, hot takey, but I think they would have had a shot. They just – gosh, yeah. As the favorites, I mean, they just – I don't know. Paul George just – he not only does he not play well under pressure, he honestly plays like – honestly, he plays like a role play, not even like a good – he plays like very – he plays like below average. He's not even like – yeah, like when Steph had, you know, or KD had a bad series, they averaged like 24 or whatever. But yes. He wasn't even that.
Yeah, 100%. He's like nowhere to be found when – I mean, he's supposed to be your second best player. And to have that type of egg laid by him, like, on a consistent basis. Honestly, I feel like he would be a good grab for the Warriors if the market's right for you guys.
You think they would trade him?
Wiggins and
after 1 year, they're gonna give up already.
I mean, because they, I mean, you only have Kawhi under contract for 1 more year. So I feel like whatever he wants to do, you're gonna have to do. And if he wants to get rid of Paul George, then I don't know.
That'll be a really interesting dynamic, though, because he basically said, if you don't trade for Paul George, I'm not coming there. And then to say, I changed my mind, get rid of him now. I mean, that's just really weird to think of. But I don't know. Paul George has had those, you know, he had those same playoff struggles in OKC. And I think one of the big things for the Clippers, I think they just sort of started game planning for the conference finals before the second round was over. You know, they went up 3-1. They started thinking ahead too much, and then the Nuggets were able to catch them off guard. By the way, speaking of the Nuggets, like I liked Jokic already, like before this playoffs. I'm like so much higher on him now. I mean, his ability to do pretty much everything on offense is pretty like blown away to me. He's probably maybe the best high post pass I've ever seen. And I mean, his ability to, he can shoot and handle the ball. I mean, and also he just doesn't, and the fact that he doesn't look like he's going to be able to do anything You know, he just kind of lumbers around out there, and then the next thing you know, he's making a 20-footer, like falling away off one leg. Like I just love stuff like that where it just totally catches you off guard. So that's
I feel like it looks like either like your dentist or like I don't know, like the cashier at like Burger King. You know.
Yeah. That's a very wide range. You just gave
it. Like run of the mill.
Uh huh.
You know what I mean, run of the mill.
Yeah.
Like, you know, who's their best player, Miles? Who do you think?
Who, the Nuggets?
Yeah.
Oh, it's for sure Jokic.
You think but so?
Okay. Yeah, I think Murray is the perfect Robin though. Like, I mean, I hate making comparisons because it like puts it in a box, but it's Shaq and Kobe-esque where Jokic is the foundation, and they wouldn't be any they wouldn't get or be any sorry they won't be successful without him being there. Like if it's just Murray and the guys that you know, like a scrappy eight seed, but you have Jokic to build a foundation on, and then Murray's like your deal closer, your clutch guy. You know, he'll like bring you over the hump.
Yeah,
I would also say Jokic was seven. Would you say Murray or?
Yeah. Oh man, I would say I would lean towards Jokic, but there were certainly times in the playoffs where I was, you know, ready to jump off that. I mean, certainly now, you know, I actually got some juice on Twitter, but you know, I think now there's no argument for Russell Westbrook being better than Jamal Murray. That's like long over. People say that Russell's better than Steph, and now he's not even a top 15 player anymore to me. He's clearly declined. We can talk about Houston's offseason, but I did want to quickly ask you quickly about next year, because we were mentioning about like the Lakers and the Warriors, like how like returning the favor and stuff. And I think it's gonna be really fun for them to both be good at the same time, because that's never happened, honestly, like ever. Like since, I mean, I don't mean they were in the playoffs in the '90s, but like Magic was, you know, that team was clearly better. Are you excited for? I don't know. I mean, the NorCal SoCal shit talk is gonna be at a whole new level.
Yes, I am so excited for it, because you're right. It hasn't happened. Every single time we've been good, you guys have been bad, and then vice versa. You had an insane run, and we had a freaking terrible run. And seeing LeBron go up against you guys again will just be a treat in itself, because I do remember all the vibes and feelings of watching the finals from 15 to 18. Like those were some damn good battles. And now everyone's older and wiser, teams look a little different, and honestly I'm just excited to see the Warriors back, because I love your guys' brand of basketball. Like in 2015 and 2016, like of course I hated you guys, but I was like, dude, you can't be mad at this. They play basketball the right way, the way it swings. You find the open man. Like there's no like ego. It isn't driving the offense. It's just beautiful.
Yeah, that's you know that is Steve Kerr learning from Greg Popovich. I think that's such a huge part of it. I mean, that is the Spurs way, and you can see the pop in Steve Kerr's, like, not only his offensive system to some extent, but also just the emphasis on chemistry and having and just sort of having fun and everybody being professional and in line and things like that.
Yeah, it's crazy how good of a coach he became, because that was his first coaching gig.
He's been great.
TNT broadcast for
exactly. He's been perfect. Yeah. Go ahead.
No. I don't have anything. Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say like he's been perfectly like both side like on court wise and like personality wise. You know, I think I've always said that like Mark Jackson, who I guess could also be the Clippers could also hire. He was the perfect coach to get the Warriors from like crappy, you know, to like relevant. Then Steve Kerr was a perfect coach to take them from like good and like relevant and good to great. He's been great so far. Where else do you want to go, Alex?
Where else do I want to go?
Yeah.
I don't know.
The least amount of prep we ever did for a podcast, people. College is busy.
we've been busy with school and everything. And this happened like literally 2 days ago, and it's happened. I mean, we really started to figure it out in the last few hours.
Yeah.
So. No, but it's cool. It's a good time.
For sure.
I don't know. I guess like we were talking about, like, you know, playing the right way and stuff like that. Are there any teams, Miles, that you just sort of, maybe, you know, you're not necessarily a fan of them, but you just like stuff about them?
OKC this year was very pleasant to watch. I had kind of written off Chris Paul because he is old as hell. Yeah, but honestly, he's going to be a really big target in on the trade market. And it's funny because I was thinking, like, after the Clippers got embarrassed, I'm like, dude, Chris Paul would be perfect for this team. Imagine Chris Paul going back. I mean, obviously, Doc Rivers is gone now, but just imagine the storylines. That would be, oh, my goodness.
I mean, I wonder, gosh, I mean, I agree. I don't know how they would get him. I don't know. To me, the Clippers are great. Or the Thunder are great at, you know, leveraging people. I mean, the amount of picks they got from the Clippers and from the Rockets, where they obviously got more than, like, they should have. I mean, I think they could really squeeze a lot out of the Bucks because, you know, obviously the Bucks are going to go all in to, you know, try and win a title in Giannis's last year. So, I mean, I think they could really, you know, get some assets out of the Bucks. So where do you think he's going to end up? You don't think he's going to be back in OKC next year?
No, I don't, because I think getting rid of Billy Donovan was an indication, because clearly they're trying to rebuild and tank.
Yeah. Where's he going to end up?
Ooh, I could not tell you. I mean, if I had to bet money, I would say Milwaukee. I'd say Milwaukee tries to find out a way to get that done just in hopes to keep Giannis. So that would be my bet. But other than that, I couldn't say.
Nice.
Lakers maybe? No, I'm just kidding.
Nice. So just to circle back to the finals, and you think Lakers in seven?
Yeah, but that is kind of hopeful, just because.
Oh, you're really concerned, huh?
Yeah, I am, dude. Because Miami is, I feel like they're a good combination of Denver, and God, who am I thinking of? I had it. Well, like they're just solid on both ends, and you can get hurt from anywhere. Tyler Hero could get hot, Jimmy could get hot, Dragic could get hot, Bam. And like I said, the matchup on defense is the whole series for me. So it, like, I think, of course, you need LeBron and AD to play with, like, play almost mistakeless. Like, their margin of error is so thin.
Mistake free?
Yeah.
Just kidding.
No, for sure. Honestly.
Nice. Who's going to win the finals MVP?
Who do I want or who do I think?
Both.
Want, I don't care, as long as we win. Who do I think? I think it's LeBron.
Is LeBron's legacy going to be impacted?
I wanted to ask you guys about that too. Like, what's your definition of, like, the MVP? Like, what's your criteria for an MVP?
I was told that Steph and KD canceled each other out because they were two superstars playing on the same team. So apparently that they're not allowed to win MVP. So then LeBron and AD shouldn't be allowed to win MVP either. Those are the rules that I was told.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair. Yeah.
I'm just looking at the combination of individual and team success. You know, I want someone who's really good on offense. You know, hopefully you're good on defense too, although that's not always a requirement. And then, you know, I would think that I'd always try to give MVP to someone who's at least a top three seed in their conference. I think if you have those two things, like, that's part of the reason I didn't like when Westbrook won in 2017, was just because I felt like it was a lot of empty stats and a lot of and his team and the Thunder were the sixth seed that year. So, I mean, it's not like they were even like that even got them that far. You know, I mean,
but Alex, but he got a bunch of rebounds off of missed free throws. How could he not be rewarded? And that was ridiculous.
Yeah,
so, if he would have gotten like 9.8 rebounds, it wouldn't have even given it to him. Yeah.
I mean, I think that if there's any argument for, like, it's a narrative award, that's the season to look to, because of course it was a storyline of KD left him high and dry, and they still made the playoffs. All the triple double stuff. But yeah, you're right. I think my criteria for it is just take them out of the team and what is the team left with. And sure. I know that's kind of tough to say, because like they make so much money and they would have other pieces. But like, take Giannis from the Bucks right now. They're a lottery team. I am a big James Harden fan just because I don't know. How do you guys feel about James Harden?
We don't like him just as Warriors fans, because I mean we don't like the crap he pulls, you know, the grabbing the arm and the flailing and all that kind of stuff. I think other than that, he's very entertaining to watch. Just, you know, he's such a good ball handler, he's and passer, and has improved his shooting so much. I mean, I compare him a lot. I compare him, his style, a lot to Luka. You know, I think that Luka is largely Harden without the annoying flopping stuff.
Bullshit.
Yeah, exactly. So in that sense, I like a lot of things about him, and I don't like a lot of things about him, if that makes sense.
I can't stand him. I don't like his brand of basketball. The way that you play, just like looking for fouls, that's not basketball to me. I would like him much more if he, was co-starring with Leonardo DiCaprio, personally. I would. What's up?
That was great.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm being honest. Sorry. But before we wrap up, is there anything that you want to plug, tell people, social media, whatever you want, your mom's favorite recipe, whatever you want.
Thanks. Just Twitter. That's where I'm most active on. It's at MGVSMIN. Again, that's MGVSMIN. I wish I did like Twitter and all that stuff. Instagram, but Twitter is just my bread and butter, because that's where everyone's honest and they're the most analytic about their things. That's about it, man.
Awesome. Is there anything else that you want to say about the finals, or are we good?
No, we're good. I need you guys to pray for me, because my stress level is going to be through the roof.
Well, you know what? In that case, I'll pray that you guys get swept in four, taken care of nice and easily. Just to put you out of your misery nice and fast.
Appreciate that.
All right. Thanks, Maz. We really appreciate it.
Thank you guys, man. It was a pleasure. It was a blast.
Awesome, man. Sounds good.
Talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon.
Take care. Bye. Be sure to check out Good Take with Alex Hutton and Zevin Schuster on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else podcasts are available.
And be sure to follow us on Twitter at AlexHutton35. That's Alex Hutton, HUTTON 35. And at ZShust9, that's ZShust9. And please follow us, spread our work, and we hope to see you back here again soon. Thanks so much.
Now back to the show.
All right. That was really fun. Miles is a really talented guy. It was a pleasure to meet him over the weekend on Mark's Broadcaster's Path Zoom. It was really fun.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was a really cool thing. You know, we were asking him how he found out about it. I basically found out about it because our the friend of the show, Rob Parker, he tweeted about it. It was like,
wait, are we allowed to say that?
Why not? I mean,
fair enough.
That's the way I think of it. But anyway, he just like sort of tweeted out about it, like looking forward to this thing this weekend. And then I looked into it a little bit, and once I found out what it was, I was like, and then I signed up for it. I texted you or DM'd you or something like that, saying, "Hey, I'm doing this thing this weekend. This might be kind of a fun way for us to hang out a little bit and do some stuff related to broadcasting and media and stuff." And they're being a really good time, you know. I'm just to throw out some of the names. It was Rob, obviously, but also Dave Fleming, who does play-by-play for the Giants, Ashley Adamson from Pac-12 Network, Jessica Kleinschmidt from NBC Sports Bay Area. I mean, just some really like solid, like really interesting names, and the whole thing was of course run by Mark Willard from KNBR. And then we ended up meeting Miles and talking in the Zoom chat, and sort of just it all happened pretty spontaneously, which is really cool. Yeah. So I mean, that's how we've done a lot of the stuff. That's how we've gotten a lot of our guests. So
how the whole damn thing started, baby.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it all started with kind of like the first step in this whole thing was kind of a tweet to Howard Beck. So just like randomly, and it's all just sort of taken off from there. But it was, no, I mean, it was really cool. We had a great time. He's obviously super knowledgeable about basketball and stuff. So awesome to have him on.
Yeah. And then before we get into our last thing, we just do what I really quickly want to say. Please follow Miles on Twitter. And then follow us as well. Like, share, subscribe on YouTube. Hell, give us a rating on Apple Podcasts if you really have time on your hands. We'd really appreciate the support. It's really fun for us to bring you guys some content. And we had a couple weeks off because the start of school was just totally crazy, but we are back and better than ever. And with that, we have a really fun segment called
If At First You Don't Succeed.
Dun, 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 dun. All right. So in this segment, we're going to do something a little bit similar to what we've done before, but it's going to be seen differently. We're each going to give one choke job and one comeback that each of us found interesting. Is that a good way of putting it?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So first off, we're going to start with bad news and end on something positive, because ending on something positive is always just better, especially in present days, present times. So first off, with the choke job that Alexander Harden found most interesting.
It is. Yeah, do you want me to go now? Or
yeah. I just phrased that like complete shit. But yeah.
No. It was fine. No. Do it again. No, take two.
He's like, no, take two. Like Kim Raction. It's like, with the most interesting choke job that Alexander Harden found was...
The Atlanta Falcons in Super Bowl 51, up 28-3. Fine. That was yours? I'm sorry, man. I apologize. But you have a backup, right?
Yeah.
You made it up to them? Okay, cool. So I'll just talk about them. What makes this so crazy is obviously it's the biggest blown lead in Super Bowl history. It's the fact that it was against the evil empire of the New England Patriots and Brady and Belichick and all of that. And, you know, they had a chance to just absolutely destroy him out of the water, and then that didn't happen. But also it's the fact that it's how it happened late in the game, where we've talked about this before, where literally all they would have to do is fall down and kick a field goal to win the game up 28-20 and make it 31-20 and pretty much seal it. But they insisted on a passing play, yet a sack, yet a hold, knocked him out of field goal range. So it's not just that they lost. I mean, it would be one thing if they then like missed the field goal or whatever, but the fact that they didn't even give themselves a chance to potentially seal the game is what makes it so crazy to me. And that's why I'm listening as not my favorite choke job, because I don't want to like phrase like that, but like the choke job I find in sports history that I find the most interesting. And then, should I do honorable mention now, or should I wait until
Go for it.
My honorable mention, I'm gonna go with something really off the board. Do you know who Jean Vandeveld is?
I do not.
Jean Vandeveld was a French golfer who, for the most part in his career, was kind of middling. I don't know a ton about him, so don't quote me on that, but never finished like better than like 40 something in a major tournament, except for the 1999 US Open, I think, maybe the British Open. Let me double check that.
In the meantime,
1999 British Open, 1999 Open Championship.
Okay.
He had a three-stroke lead going into his final hole. So all he had to do was double bogey or better, and just wound up in the rough and the water and all over the place, and ended up triple bogeying the hole to force a playoff and lost the playoff. And all he had to do was just basically, you hear the expression of, you know, playing not to lose. All he had to do was play that hole not to lose. It was a par four, and he could have shot a six and still won, and he just totally blew it. His club selection was all over the place and just completely messed it up. And it's like a thing for me. And the reason I bring it up is like a thing for me when I play golf, if I have like a terrible hole where I'm just like whacking the ball kind of all over the place, it's like thing I say is I'm going full Vandeveld here.
That doesn't happen very often though, right? It rarely happens.
Oh no, of course not. I just bumped the camera. It's just, and like my dad being the big golf fan that he is, knows exactly what I'm talking about when I say that. And it's just, it just stinks. Like it was by far the best he ever did in a major. And to completely kind of break down the last hole like that is just so brutal.
Yeah, no, I totally, that's a really good one. I've read about that. It was off my radar. So for me, my honorable mention was the Falcons, for all the reasons that you mentioned. It definitely wasn't my favorite because it gave Brady and Belichick in the past their fifth. It really probably cemented Brady as the greatest of all time. Obviously, passing Joe in Super Bowls, you know, to win it, and also like to win it in that fashion, to bring him back the way that he did. And sure, he got lucky. You know, I'm with Rob Parker on the whole Lote, like, luckiest of all time. Like, that's true. But at a certain point, like, once you win enough, like, you can't deny him. And like, Brady, they're going to make the playoffs this year, and who knows how far they could go.
You think for me, he's Lote and the GOAT? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, isn't that fair?
Yeah. I get where you come from.
I mean, LeBron's gotten really lucky for two of his three rings, but look, I mean, he's still, I mean, yeah. If he wins the title, he'll probably leapfrog Tim Duncan and Kareem for me and be the second best player ever.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, okay. Look, if he wins this year, then he's probably the GOAT. Maybe, you know, if he wins the next two or the next three, he's probably the GOAT.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's probably true. So anyway, who's your number one?
No. What I found most interesting was, and it's going back a little bit of a ways, but in 2011, the Boston Red Sox, they blew a humongous wild card lead. If you remember, this was the year before the second wild card was implemented, and then before this year, things went really haywire. But they had like an 11 game lead. You know, there was just a whole thing where they were playing, eating chicken wings and playing video games in the dugout. I think this was like Lester. There's a whole bunch of guys, maybe like Jason Varitek, they had a whole bunch of guys just eating chicken wings and video games in the dugout, just total complete chaos. And they like lost 11 games in the last month, but it was capped off. And I encourage folks to go look this up. There was a famous clip with Dan Shaughnessy when the Red Sox game was in a rainout against the Orioles. And you know, the Red Sox were up like 3-0, 2-0 at the time. But the Tampa was down 7-0, and so they were tied going into the last game of the season.
Right, the Rays were playing the Yankees, right?
Yeah, the Rays were playing the Yankees in Tampa, and so when the Rays were down 7-0 and the Red Sox were in a rain delay, someone had Dan Shaughnessy on his TV, and again, I encourage you all to look this up. He says, "Well, you know, look, whatever happens, even if the Red Sox lose, like they will have a game tomorrow. They will play a game tomorrow, assuming that, you know, if they lose, at least they'll get to play, you know, Tampa, you know, like in a tiebreaker game." Mm-hmm. So sure enough. Within minutes, the Red Sox lose on a walk. Again, the Red Sox are up 3-2 with two outs and nobody on. They give up two runs, capped off by, like, Carl Crawford. Kind of makes an error, kind of just drops the ball. And it was a tough sliding catch. But as soon as he drops the ball, bam, 2 minutes later, the Rays have come back. It's 7-6. Again, two outs, nobody on in the bottom of the ninth inning. And Dan Johnson, who, from my A's days, totally run-of-the-mill guy, like complete nobody, hasn't done anything for them all season. Like hits a line drive, ties it, and then obviously Longoria hits that famous, you know, line shot down the line as he's like raising his hands up in the air, like, oh my God. And so you basically have the specter of, you know, sort of like, you know, the Red Sox choked, you know, down the last month of the season. And you know, it was the opposite for the Rays. And it was sort of the last game of the season was kind of like a microcosm for that. Do you have memories of that?
Of course. Yeah, I mean, a couple things that stick out to me about that is the fact that the games were going on at the exact same time. Exactly. Like, everyone was, like, watching both scoreboards and, like, trying to see what was going on. And then the fact that Red Sox fans had to root for the Yankees.
Yeah, that's right.
Second is another, like, just sort of fun element of that.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Well, speaking of that, my honorable mention for comebacks was actually the Red Sox 04 comeback from the Yankees from 03.
Uh-huh.
From 03 into 04. Yeah, for those of you who haven't seen, you know, 4 days in October, the 30 for 30, you should definitely check that out. It's a really cool thing to witness. You know, I was five, so we didn't watch it live at the time, but to really see it play back was really cool. And yeah, you know, who doesn't like to see the Yankees gag away something big? So that's my honorable mention.
Right.
Now, my biggest comeback, it's not even a comeback within a game, but it has to be Tiger Woods winning the Masters. My comeback that I found most interesting was Tiger Woods winning the Masters last year, even though last year seems like, I don't know, 100 years ago, which he's going to have a chance to defend his Masters title in November. How crazy is that? Obviously, after everything that he's gone through with the whole scandal, with all the injuries, I mean, the dude could barely play with his kids like 2 or 3 years ago. His back was just so bad. He had back, you know, fusion surgeries, this, that, the other, just left and right. You know, his body was breaking down. And for him to just sort of muster that up one more time, I mean, that, you know, I'll be honest, like, I haven't watched an entire golf round from start to finish very much. I get up at 9 a.m., watch the whole thing, then watch Game of Thrones that night. It was a great day. And for Tiger, I mean, there aren't many things that you're going to see, you know, Donald Trump and Barack Obama both tweet about, like, positively. I mean, the whole country was, like, you know, like that was one of the few things that like we everyone could agree on that everyone was happy, you know, happy with, you know, at the same time. And I mean, gosh, I mean, I was like cheering like crazy for Francisco Molinari. To like, I was like, I didn't know who this guy was a week ago. Now I'm like, shoot the ball in the freaking wall, like, mess it up. Like, you know, and everyone was like cheering for these guys. I mean, you had Brady tweeting, Mahomes. I mean, just the amount for everyone in the country to really root for the same thing was really, really cool. And unfortunately, it's not as commonplace nowadays as you know, I wish. And I'm sure you wish too. So that was really something I'll never forget.
The thing about that that will kind of like, one of the things that's about that sticks out to me the most is like, obviously, you know, I was, you know, following it very close. I'm not as big of a Tiger fan as you are, but I still found it obviously really interesting just because of the entire backstory. One of my favorite parts of that whole thing is the Sports Illustrated cover of him, you know, like celebrating with the whole crowd behind him. And, you know, there was the cover that week, there was no text. It was just that picture. And like, because there was like, you didn't need any words to describe what was going on there. And I thought it was just like, it was just such a great photo and everything. And I really like that. And I'll always remember that. Part of it, you know, those images always stick out to you. So
for sure. And the last thing I'll say is you know, when he last won the Masters, he was hugging his dad, sort of off the 18th, and then this one he was giving a hug to his son, which was a cool full circle cap off. And then we'll see if he could ever pass Jack for 18 majors. So
yeah, right. What's he having now? 15 or
15?
Okay.
Well, a long time between 14 and 15, but so all right.
My turn. For my most interesting redemption arc or whatever you want to call it, I am saying the 2018 and 2019 Virginia Cavaliers men's basketball teams, because they went from being the literally the first ever one seed to lose to a 16. I mean, literally unprecedented. No one seed had ever done it before. They didn't just lose the game, they got crushed. I mean, they got ran off the floor by UMBC. I mean, it was just like nuts. Quick side story about that you're involved in is that night, I remember very distinctly. It was on a Friday night, and every Friday night, Loyola Marymount, where I go to school, they have an on-campus movie theater where they show movies on Fridays, and I think Thursdays and Saturdays too. But Friday night was always like my movie night. Like if I like the movie that's playing there, I'm gonna go check that out. So I went in, and right as like a few minutes before the movie was going to start, you texted me like, dude, it's the start of the second half and it's looking like UMBC might actually win this, or something like to that effect. Yeah. And I was like, ooh, I'm at the movie right now. I mean, is Virginia just going to kind of flip a switch and run away with this at a certain point? Is it worth it to leave the movie and go back? And I said, you know what? This could be historic. Forget it. I walked out of the movie theater, went back to my dorm room, watched the game, went crazy, and absolutely made the right decision. So thank you for that part of it.
Nice. At what point did you like start watching?
Like there were probably like 17 minutes left in the second half, I'm guessing. Nice. Yeah. So, but then for them to turn around and win the national title the next year with largely the same players, like it wasn't one of those things where, you know, it was like a one and done freshman class where they all left. Like it was
That's not their style.
Yeah. Right. No, exactly. I mean, like DeAndre Hunter and Kyle Guy and all these different players who had been there for both years was really cool to see them all like come together. And sort of finish what they set out to do at the start of the year. I mean, that had to be the only thing on their mind. When that season started was let's go out and win this damn thing. And to see them actually pull it off after a year, like after like the entire, not only the team, but the entire fan base just had to feel so crushed was really cool to see. So that's what I'm going with. It's my most, most interesting redemption arc for me.
And I just was looking up really quick that Tony Bennett, their coach, it's so likable. I mean, he turned down a pay raise so the university could give funds to other things, which is really, really cool, which is really humble. But yeah, I mean, they're a classic kind of college program. They don't really have that many guys, like, you know, that are pro, you know, they don't have, like, one and done, you know, they don't have, like, you know, Jamal Murray's or Anthony Davis's, like, you know, like Kentucky's or, you know, like Duke or something. You know, they didn't even have like a Cassius Stanley, like no one like that. So that was really cool. And I think, you know, the lighting just pulled off the exact same thing pretty much. They had the best record in the league, won the President's Trophy, got swept in the first round, and then come back the next year and, you know, and win the whole damn thing.
But other President's Trophy teams have lost in the first round before. No one seed had ever lost to a 16. I mean, they made history in the
worst. No, I'm not disputing your pick, but I'm just saying they got swept. Like
that's true. I mean,
they also they didn't get swept. I gotta look up what the exact goal differential is, but I mean they got crushed in, I think, 3 out of 4 games. I mean, it wasn't even close. I'd have to look up the exact goal, but like, it wasn't even a close series.
No, of course. I mean, it felt like last year, like Columbus wanted it way more. Like totally. They just cared about the series more than Tampa did. So
totally. All right. Yeah. Should we wrap it up? You want to take us home?
Yeah. We said we wanted to end on a good note. Hopefully we did that with talking about some exciting redemption arcs and
that's how we talked about your fantasy team in the beginning.
Yeah. And exactly. We end with talking about Virginia and the Lightning and all these teams that when things seemed really, really low, they were able to turn it around and turn into something great for themselves and for the fans and all that kind of stuff. So really cool. Thank you so much for tuning in. We really appreciate it. Like we said earlier, like our videos, subscribe, rate us on Apple and Spotify or whatever platform you use. And please follow us on Twitter. I am at AlexHutton35, Alex, HUTTON, and then the number 35. And then Zevin is at ZShust9, ZShust, number 9. Thank you so much. I think that's it, right?
Yeah. Did you say YouTube?
I think so, yeah.
Awesome. Yeah.
All right.
What he said.
Awesome.
Thanks, guys. See you next time.